Holy crap, we got a lot to talk about. Let's get started on the Blitz.
This is FSU softball player Mac Leonard, and you are listening to the C-Gap Blitz Podcast.
And I'm back. It's been a minute. Was literally off a month. Why, you ask? Well, because I had stuff going on. But I'm back now. A lot to talk about. What a weird week for NFL fantasy. We are starting to see some clarity in the college ranks. The contenders, the pretenders. I'm going to start right there at the top with my college quick hit. I want to start by saying I haven't been on the air since I got back from Tallahassee. My daughter and me went down to Tallahassee for the game last week against Clemson, and I got to tell you, it did not disappoint. Everything I thought it would be, and more. Some people say Disney World is the greatest place on earth. I think Dope Campbell Stadium is the greatest place on earth. I've been to both. And, I mean, they are running close, neck and neck, but if I had to pick, I'm picking Doak just because I'm 47. And Disney World's kind of a place for, well, that's not true. It's for everyone. But I'll take Tallahassee, Florida. Doak Campbell Stadium, 1. Disney World, 2. What a great experience for us. We left on a Thursday, drove all the way down. We were badasses. We didn't stop other than to use the restroom and get some food and gas up. 14 hours. We shared the driving. I made my kid drive through Georgia. That's not a very good parent, but I did it anyway. I just needed a break. And we didn't go through Atlanta. We bypassed Atlanta both times, so it really wasn't that bad. But Georgia is terrible because it's like you drive and drive and drive, and you're still in Georgia. You just can't get out of that state. It takes forever. My daughter videotaped me walking up the ramp into the stadium on Saturday when we walked in just to see my reaction. I don't know. She posted it out there on social media. I don't know what you take from it, but all I could do was just stand there at the opening where we scanned our tickets and we walked in underneath the bleachers, really. Walked up a ramp, and then you just go up this mouth and it just opens up into the stadium, and I just stopped there and just gazed around and just looked all around. The stands were still relatively empty. People were coming in, you know, so I got a pretty good look at it. I mean, we weren't the first ones in, but we were probably one of the first couple thousand in the gate. And just stopped and looked at it. Just soaked it all in. Never, and I said this to my daughter a few times, never thinking that I would ever be witnessing this moment live. I'd always wanted to catch a game inside Doak Campbell Stadium and watch them play, you know, at home. And my girlfriend was so awesome a few years ago to get us tickets to go down to see him play in Louisville, Dalvin Cook's last year there. And that was an adventure of a lifetime. But watching him play at home and watching him warm up right there on that field that I've watched so many times on TV was just, it's a very special moment. And I just wanted to take it all in. And I did. Other than the outcome of the game, which FSU fought hard and came back and made it a game in the fourth quarter, you know, the experience was just amazing. We actually got to meet Danielle Watson, she was a pitcher last year for the softball team. We actually got pictures with her. We got pictures with FSU legend Odell Higgins. We were just at the sod cemetery, and I looked up, and I saw him, and I about crapped. I'm like, that's Odell Higgins, the pillar of Florida State. He is all Florida State, and what an amazing time that was. Wouldn't trade it for the world. We got to see the statue. We got to see an Unconquered statue at night lit up with the flames. That stuff's all out there on social media. If you're into that kind of thing, whether you're an FSU fan or not, you have to appreciate, you know, what that college means to college football. You know, what Bobby Bowden means to college football. It was just an awesome, awesome experience. And I got to tell you, if you are a fan, a college football fan, and you aren't exactly close to their home stadium, like let's say you live in Ohio and you're a North Carolina fan, and you want to go see them play at home, it's worth it. Just to say you've done it, I don't know that I'll ever go back, but worth it. All right, let's get into college quick hit real quick. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on college. I did get to watch some college this week, didn't last week, so I got a little bit of more knowledge. Georgia still at the top, Ohio State 2, Tennessee 3, Michigan 4, Clemson 5, Bama 6, TCU 7, Oregon 8, Oklahoma State 9, USC 10. Carrying on through the top 15, because there's a couple of teams I want to talk about. Wake Forest 11, UCLA 12, Penn State 13, the Utes coming in at 14, the first two-loss team in the top 15, and then rounding out Ole Miss, Syracuse, Illinois, LSU, Kentucky, and Cincinnati rounding out the top 20. Into the top 25, ending it, North Carolina 21, K-State 22, Tulane, that's a great story, 23, NC State 24, South Carolina cracks the top 25 at 5-2. A lot of these we expect to see this. I don't like to brag on the SEC very often. I think they got 7 teams in the top 25 if just looking at it, right? It looks like 7 teams. I don't like bragging on them, but what a run Tennessee's having with Heisman, maybe front runner right now, Hendon Hooker. He might be the guy. If you're voting today, October 24th at 4:40, and I had a vote, I'm voting for Hendon Hooker. Just from what he's brought him up to, you know, they beat Alabama. They still have a rough test against Georgia. But I got to tell you, what we thought earlier in the season with some of these teams being untouchable, I'm not so sure now. You know, I said on my last podcast, which you go back way a month, anybody can get got. I thought, except for Georgia, Ohio State at the top, and maybe even Bama. Stand corrected, obviously, because Bama goes down. I think, and you know, Father, forgive me for what I'm about to say, but Tennessee could be better than Georgia on that given day. I mean, they could. Georgia's had a couple of sleepwalkers that they've kind of let get away from them. Now, I'm not saying they would take Tennessee in that light. They would probably, you know, okay, we got to go into this game with our eyes open. But Tennessee beat Alabama. Yes, that was in Tennessee. But huge win. Huge win not only for Josh Heupel, huge win for Tennessee getting back on the map. You know, and I said it back way back when it was still cold outside that, you know, Tennessee's relevance is something that college football has been missing for a long time. A lot of these blue blood schools, and you can put Tennessee in there as a blue blood school that was good, you know, for a lot of years, is making a comeback, and it's good to see. I don't like the SEC, but Tennessee being good this year is good for college football as a whole because we needed something different. We needed somebody besides Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama to root for. Okay, and you can even put, I mean, you can put Oregon in there, but they're wishy-washy. But we needed somebody else to root for. Last year, in these parts of the country, we was rooting for Cincinnati. Although I knew they were going to get boat raced in the CFP because they didn't stand a chance. But it gave us somebody else to root for. And this year, Tennessee, the difference between Tennessee and Cincinnati is Tennessee can get it done. Tennessee can rise up to the level, and they're playing without Cedric Tillman. Jalin Hyatt has taken his game to a new level. They're running a couple of backs out there. Hendon Hooker's making good decisions, running and throwing the ball. This Tennessee team is legit, and I wouldn't be surprised if I'm sitting here in a couple of weeks and they've knocked off Georgia, and the whole college world, the whole college landscape is just in awe. I wouldn't be surprised. They are a good football team, and what they have done in rebuilding is amazing. And I'm not a fan, and I'm not saying yeah, I'm a fan, but I'm really rooting to see just how far Tennessee can go. Just to see, you know, does the glass slipper come off and break, or is this a magical season, you know, that's really going to turn out to be something that, you know, we remember for a while. Now, I have a couple of Tennessee guys that I talked to, one of them in particular, that it would just, there'd be no living with him if they were to pull this whole thing off. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Tennessee fans because they have been wanting this for so long, ever since their fluke national championship game against Florida State. That was a fluke. That didn't deserve to win that game, but they did. I'm never going to go off of the horse that if Chris Winkie plays in that game, it ain't even close. But the best quarterback in the country was hurt, so Tennessee wins the game. That's what happens. But if they had Winkie, Tennessee doesn't win that game. Sorry to say it. Sorry to spoil it for you, Tennessee fans. Michigan 7-0, and they're right back up here. What a game that's going to be. Just next month, folks, just in a few weeks, if Ohio State remains undefeated and Michigan remains undefeated, can Harbaugh do it again? Huge game for both of those schools, both of them in the top five. If they run the table and they play, holy cow, that is going to be a game that I would watch. The thing with Michigan is it's real easy. Stop the running game. That's it. That they want to run, and they're going to run all they can. Stop the running game. But it hasn't happened yet. Through seven games, no team has been able to do it. I thought Penn State, who is now 13th with one loss after losing to Michigan, I thought Penn State would give them a little bit closer of a game, but that wasn't even a close game. Going down through some of the rest of these games, or some of the rest of these teams here in the rankings, Wake Forest 6-1 at 11th. I think that's hogwash. I know what their record says. I get that, but I am not a Sam Hartman fan. I'm not a believer in his game at the next level. That wanky offense that they run, if it wasn't for that and a little bit of sleight of hand and a lot of holding and stuff, you know, they're 500 at best. That team to me is not an 11th ranked team. I would have Penn State up above them just because I think Penn State's an overall better team. UCLA, I finally got to watch a little bit of UCLA because they weren't playing at midnight. Not a bad football program, having a really good season. I'm okay with that ranking. Another ranking to me that is a little bit off. I know LSU has had a good run since they lost to FSU, and they're coming on, so I don't have a problem with them being ranked, maybe just ranked a little bit too high. This Tulane team at 7-1, their quarterback is having a fantastic season. I would put Tulane ahead of LSU, not only because of their record, but mainly because of their record. Just, they're 7-1. They've earned it. They're playing really, really tough. They won a ranked match this weekend for the first time in forever. I read on the stat lines. The surprise to me right now in this game, and this isn't a homer because I'm from Ohio, but Cincinnati being 6-1, ranked 20th after what they lost, both starting corners, quarterback, running back. After what they lost, able to piece it back together and still come back and get 6-1, I have them ahead of LSU as well. So I don't exactly. Some of this stuff's going to play itself out. NC State's going to continue to fall until they get Devin Leary back. South Carolina is a team that you want to keep your eye on. Another one of those. That's the seventh of the SEC teams in the top 25. Just to see how they run out, because their schedule is going to get harder. I don't know what to make of the Oklahoma State-Texas game. That was just a wild, fun game to watch. High scoring. And then the defenses showed up, and it was a really fun game. Ole Miss at 7-1-15, and I'm going to talk about them, and then I'm going to jump to the NFL. Ole Miss 7-1, and they started out they ran two running backs behind Jackson Dart. They got a kid, freshman, Quinton Junkins. I've scooped him up in two leagues, and I actually added him to my Devy roster as well. That's a kid to keep an eye on. He's a freshman. I'll have to hold him for a while, but I got him in both of my college fantasy leagues, and I picked him up on my Devy roster. He looks legit. It looks like he's going to be a stud. He just has to stay healthy with his time in college. So they're leaning on that a little bit. Ole Miss is. Be interesting to see how long that lasts. All in all, top 25, don't hate it. There's a few that make me scratch my head and a couple of teams that really I don't even think to be there. Just, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Wake Forest has run its gauntlet. Clemson's pretty much ran its gauntlet. Syracuse, 6-1 has FSU. Syracuse probably should have beat Clemson. Let that one get away from them. So, Syracuse, FSU, that's definitely the toughest game left for the Noles. And we'll see what they can do with Syracuse, because, I mean, they should have lost to Clemson. I was hoping that they would have beaten Clemson. That would have really have geared up as an interesting match to see what FSU can do with them. But, you know, Syracuse, Illinois, all these teams that we don't normally see in the top 25, it's kind of refreshing, honestly. And if you're a fan of one of these teams, you know, you guys are having a great year, and, you know, I applaud your fandom, and, you know, whoever you root for, you know, I hope your team finishes it out. So we're going to shift now to the NFL, and right out of the gate, we're going to talk some injury news.
Here's what we know.
What we know, confirmed today, is the fear that most of us have feared in the fantasy world. Breece Hall did, in fact, tear his ACL. He's out for the season just when he was starting to really ascend his game as a rookie. And I put a post on Twitter of Bugs Bunny crying, and I said, this is a live look at me in a bunch of leagues, because I just lost Breece Hall for the year. And big hit for the Jets. So if you had Michael Carter stashed, stock up. He's going to be getting the blunt of the carries. Yesterday for Breece Hall, 4 for 72, had that 62-yard touchdown run early in the game, was headed for a monster game. I didn't see the play where he got injured. I don't want to see it. It's just going to make me more sad. Jets get the win 16-9, but that's going to hurt them. I think if they were playing about anybody else on their schedule, just because it was Denver, you know, they may not have pulled it out. So they're going to have to do some shuffling around. Michael Carter's going to have to really step up his game, second year back out of North Carolina. But, you know, the Broncos, while I'm here, I might as well just cover them. That team is so bad. I can't even put it into words. I'm not sure how they've won two games. It's beyond me how. And I'm putting it on coaching. To me, this coaching staff is just in over their head. The water was at eye level when the season kicked off, and now you can't even stop to the top of their hats. I think the head coach is just a little bit out of his league, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Plus, you're trying to integrate a new system with a new quarterback, and it's just a perfect storm down there. And the running back situation isn't spectacular. Melvin Gordon, 11 carries, 33 yards. That's not getting it done. That's not relying on anything. Jerry Jeudy, 7 for 96. Greg Dulcich, who's a rookie tight end, looks to maybe be the guy who's ascending into tight end position. And they all the experts, you know, projected that, just not this soon. But, I mean, he may have to step up. But Brett Rypien did throw for 225 yards with no touchdowns and interception. Only got sacked once. But, I mean, there's just not a lot from the running game, and there's not a lot to really hang your hat on. So this was a gimme win for the Jets, even with Breece Hall going down. So they need to take their 5-2 record and be very careful, because going forward, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher haul. Start Thursday night, you know, Arizona beats the New Orleans Saints, and both offenses had some firepower the other night, which we're not used to seeing very often with the Thursday night football game. Arizona comes out on top, still not crazy about it, doesn't really change my mind about anything. If you have Kyler Murray, if you're saddled to Kyler Murray, you're still starting him because you have no other choice probably, and you're just going to have to hope that they get better as they go. For New Orleans, the lone bright spot for me and is Olave right now. Michael Thomas is what I thought he was going to be, which is hurt all the time, and his days are done. I don't want to hear anybody say anything about Michael Thomas ever again. He can't stay on the field. He's no good for your fantasy team. He's no good for the Saints. They can't figure out what they're doing at quarterback. They use a tight end at quarterback who was a quarterback in high school. We all know the story. Jameis may be coming back next week, but they're still going to use Taysom Hill in some packages. You can't rely on that for your fantasy. So, to me, it's Kamara and Olave. And when Jameis comes back, Kamara takes the hit because he doesn't throw the ball to him. So, other than that, I don't want any part of the Saints' offense. Nothing else is any good at all. And sadly, I've even cut a few shares of Adam Troutman that I've had, hoping for him to show up. But that isn't happening. So, you know, and for Arizona, I started D-Hop in the one league that I have him in because I knew he was going to get targeted like crazy. He didn't get into the end zone. What do you have, 10 catches for 100 and some yards? I knew he was going to get targeted. So, but I don't look for that to be sustainable. You know, you're not going to get that every week. Just because he's probably going to get hurt. He's going to get nicked up. He's been out the whole entire season. And everybody knows when you first start playing in this season, you've got to get into shape, which means playing shape. And ankles get hurt, and hamstrings get pulled, and quads, and da-da-da-da-da. I don't look for it to be sustainable with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm trying to stay away from all of this offense, other than, like I said, Kyler, because you're basically stuck with playing him because you took him so high. Or in Dynasty, you've had him on your team since he was a rookie, and you're still playing him because you can't get rid of him now because his stock's so low. Baltimore-Cleveland, I don't know if maybe it's a Halloween trick for Lamar Jackson, but we're seeing a little Jekyll and Hyde thing going on. You know, maybe Cleveland just had his number. They luckily was able to squeak out the 23-20 win yesterday. Cleveland is not that bad. They're only going to get better at some point when they get their quarterback back. Nick Chubb is an all-star. I seen earlier on I'm not sure what site, it may have been Sleeper, reported that they are trying to shop Kareem Hunt. That would be great. It would be fantastic for Nick Chubb owners. They are going to have to use somebody else, though. They can't run him exclusively. But he might get more of the goal line carries, and Kareem Hunt wouldn't get him all the way down the field. And Kareem Hunt get the touchdown and vulture those scores like he has so many times. Amari Cooper's a boom play. Now, he had a couple of really nice games to start the season, but he's a boom play. He had a big long catch. I loved it. He didn't do much after that. So, I mean, you got to take your chance. I mean, you're playing Chubb. And, I mean, you're probably playing Cooper, and you're definitely playing Njoku, but Njoku got hurt. questionable whether he's going to play, because he has been one of the, he's probably been the main source of reliability in that offense these first 7 games of the season. He was 7 for 71 this week. That's a great day for a tight end. Come on. So, I mean, you're playing him, you're playing Chubb, and if you need a flex spot because of buys or injuries, which we have both of, it's Cooper. Other than that, eh. With the injuries being what they are, I hope that you have a deep bench and you've been able to stockpile some of this talent that has started to rise to the top. And if not, you're probably screwed because they're probably all gone by now. One guy in particular that I think is going to be interesting the next couple of weeks is Paris Campbell. Got word today that the Colts are benching Matt Ryan in favor of Sam Ehlinger, quarterback from University of Texas. So what we've seen from the last couple of weeks with Paris Campbell, it may go away depending on what the chemistry is between Ehlinger and him. But one thing that I do like is maybe a little bit more check down work to Jonathan Taylor until Ehlinger gets his feet wet. But I got a text from a guy in one of the leagues said it's Ehlinger season. And as a Colts fan, you've got to be excited about this because it's something fresh. You know, it's something different, and at this point, you're just wanting something. I don't know how the Colts have won 3 games. I was talking about this yesterday with a guy named Trey Angio, big Colts fan. 3-3-1, I don't know how they've won 3 games. Like, that team is that bad that I'm not sure how they've won that many games. I mean, they're still in it. So maybe Ehlinger is a spark of life that they need. Maybe they can get some stuff right on the offensive line, keep Taylor healthy, and have a productive second half of the season, because that team is hard to watch. They're not really that good. Their record is amazing how they've won 3 games. I don't get it, but... And the Titans just outlasted them yesterday. I mean, it was 19-10. The Titans just outlasted them. Ran the ball just enough. Threw the ball just enough to stave them off. And the Titans are another team. 4-2. They're winning ugly. They're winning ugly, but that's all it takes, a win. A win's a win, and a win to get you in. So, not loving a whole lot of fantasy aspects other than, you know, Derrick Henry. I don't really trust any of these wide receivers. I don't trust Tannehill anymore. Sadly, he's been one of my favorite quarterbacks going back to college at Texas A&M. But not a lot to like there, not a lot to trust. And once you get past Derrick Henry, a lot of question marks. Oh, boy. Cincinnati 35, Atlanta 17, Joe Burrow, have yourself a day. My goodness. Holy crap. Whatever other words you want to put in there. Joe Burrow, 481 yards, 3 touchdowns, ran another one in for 4 total. Had him going in a couple of leagues. Ja'Marr Chase, 8 for 130 and 2 tutties. Tyler Boyd, 8 for 155. He had a big one to start the whole thing off. T. Higgins, 5 for 96. He would have went over 100 yards, but they ruled the last catch that he made out of bounds, which still to me is a little questionary. Hayden Hurst, 6 for 48. This is just the opposite of his teams I've been talking about. You can fire up a lot of these guys on the Bengals offense. I'm not a Joe Mixon fan, but if you have him on your team, you're playing him. I have 0 shares, never will, never have, never will. But, 17, 58, and a touchdown for Joe Mixon. The touchdown saved his day. Did catch 3 out of the backfield for 33 yards. That helps you as well. But this Bengals offense is starting to find it. They're starting to get it together, and Burrow, whatever happened with him the first couple of weeks, he's put those behind him. And he's been playing out of his mind the last couple of weeks. Atlanta had no chance in this game. This game was over really before it got started, just because Burrow was on a stat bender. I guess if you're looking at something, and this is a guy who I had a lot of hope for at the beginning of the season when I knew that they had drafted him, was Tyler Allgeier. 16 for 50 and a touchdown. That's where he's going to live. I think that's where he's going to live. But, I mean, if he can get you that, he doesn't catch anything out of the backfield, it looks like. So, if he can get you that, it saves your day, especially during bye weeks where there's a bunch of guys off and injuries are just piling up like crazy here. He's the only guy that I'm really interested in. I don't want no part of Pitts. I don't want no part of Drake London, just because I don't trust the quarterback. I would at some point expect him to move to Desmond Ridder, the rookie from Cincinnati, just to give him a shot. They're 3-4. They're not out of it by any stretch. They're still only a game below 500, but they just need something as well. And Burrow just chewed up that secondary like they weren't even there. Like, he could just pick his number. They could have just kept going, and he could have easily gotten more. So, you know, the Bengals trending up, Falcons trending down. Dallas, Detroit, welcome back, Dak, if you're into Dak, which I'm not. 24-6. Looked rough to start. And in this game, it's thank goodness for Dallas' defense. Dallas' defense is really good. I don't have the rankings in front of me. All I got is the scores and the stats. But they've got to be ranking in the top 5 or 10 defenses in the league. I mean, turnovers, sacks, they're not scoring a lot on defense. But they're constantly getting to the quarterback. They're constantly getting takeaways. That's fantastic. And their defense looks good. And their defense shut down the Lions all throughout the whole entire game. Now, they didn't have DeAndre Swift, and I'm not sure when they're getting him back, but it doesn't look good. Jared Goff, 2 picks yesterday. Not a fantastic game. The running game suffered just because Dallas' defense was really good. I'm going to lean more towards Dallas on this just because they're going to need – this was a good tune-up game for Dak coming back. Kind of like that first game of the year that college teams play, just to kind of get their rhythm. It was a good time. It was a good game for him to do that. He looked really rough the first little bit, and still didn't look fantastic all throughout the course of the game. But it's going to take him a while to get back into sync and get rolling again. But I mean, he spread the ball around, and we got to see some production from the receivers that we really hadn't seen before. You got the sense of anytime a receiver was running a pattern, that Dak could find them and they could make an impact play. With Cooper Rush, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel like that was ever going to be a thing. He was just kind of like a game manager and let the defense do their job. At least with Dak coming back week in, week out, we should see a production increase, not only from Dak, but from CeeDee Lamb. It should make the running game a little bit better. At some point, they're going to have to just let Pollard – they're going to have to eat the money they did with Zeke, and Pollard's going to have to be their guy. He just looks so much better. Zeke's, you know, 2 touchdowns down there on the red zone saved his fantasy day if you're playing him anymore, which I wouldn't be. But he just doesn't look the same because he's just been beat up. He's been wore out, and I get that. That's a running back. That's the position. But Pollard looks crisper. Had a couple of really nice runs. And I know that you can't put him in there primarily as the main running back because he isn't big enough. They're going to have to continue to use the 1-2 punch. So I guess if you're going to use the 1-2 punch, you're starting the guy you're paying more money to. That's just the nature of the game. So I'll live with it. Pollard can go in there. What's going to happen, though, is Pollard's going to be in a contract year, and he's going to end up going someplace else because Dallas won't pay him. They're going to keep Zeke around. That's my genie, my forecasting from my psychic intelligence that I do not have. Somehow the Giants are 6-1. Jacksonville 2-5. Let a game get away from them that Jacksonville probably deserved to win. played better, looked better for the biggest part of the game. Just could not, in the last few seconds, they got the ball down to like the 1 yard line. Christian Kirk could not muster his way into the end zone for the win. So I mean, Saquon Barkley looks really good. He's back from the injury. He doesn't look hesitant anymore. A little bit of a favorable schedule coming up for the Giants, from what I looked at earlier. So you could feel pretty comfortable if you need a quarterback during these strange times of injuries and just inconsistent quarterback play. Maybe Daniel Jones is a guy you look at. If you don't have to, I don't blame you. But if you're looking for somebody, might not be a bad thing. But, I mean, you're playing Saquon week in and week out. The wide receivers, they kind of come and go. But the Giants are winning. They're 6-1, and they're finding ways to win. You know, what good times for New York, as long as you're not a Yankee fan. The Jets and the Giants both are having good runs, and we'll just see if they can keep it up. Apparently Green Bay is as bad as we think they are, because they let the Commanders beat them yesterday. And for stretches of that game, Green Bay looked like just awful. And for a Washington team that's playing a backup quarterback who, in my opinion, should be starting, I didn't think he was all that terrible last year. I'm not sure what I'm missing, you know, that they think, well, you know, Carson Wentz is the answer to their prayers, because now he's on IR, and what, Heinicke wins them a game. So you may think about that, because they were 2-4 before that. And now Heinicke comes in and they win against Green Bay. And I know the Packers don't have anybody to throw the ball to. They don't. Everybody's hurt. Sammy Watkins looks done. It's just a rough way for Aaron Rodgers, because he looks like he still can play the game. He just doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. Thank goodness for Aaron Jones, or else they wouldn't have even had a pulse yesterday. Rodgers finding him out of the backfield for two receiving touchdowns. But this Packers team is bad, and, you know, it's not getting any better, because, I mean, nobody's coming in. They're going to have to work in the offseason to get something. And I'm not so sure Aaron Rodgers doesn't walk away. Speaking of walking away, going to Carolina. Carolina 21, Tampa Bay 3. We knew this day was coming at some point. I mean, but the dude still threw for 290. He threw for 290, and his all-pro receiver, Mike Evans, drops a bomb in the first quarter that may have set a different tone had he caught that ball, because he walks in the end zone. Just did not. He had 2 feet. He had two yards ahead of the defender. Couldn't catch the ball. Walks in. It may change the whole complexion of the game. He still ended up with 9 for 96, Evans did, but that touchdown really hurt. Brady 290 on, this looks like, 49 pass attempts. That's a lot. That's a lot. Got beat by P.J. Walker, who's 177 yards and 2 touchdowns was enough for them to win the game. Deontay Foreman, 15 carries, 118 yards in relief of Christian McCaffrey going to San Francisco, which I haven't even touched on that yet. It looks like Walker will be the quarterback this week, in which case I'm saying fire up D.J. Moore. D.J. Moore, 7 for 69 and a touchdown. And I think P.J. Walker likes to throw the ball to him. So in deeper leagues where you have multi-flex positions, I have him in like one place. I'm going to start D.J. Moore this week just to see what he can do. Not too many other people there that I'm feeling really comfortable about, although if you need a play and Deontay Foreman's available, go get him. Put him in your lineup just because he's going to get the carries. Chuba Hubbard did get a touchdown down there on the goal line, But 15 carries for Deontay Foreman, he's going to see the work. Raiders, Texans. Raiders 38, Texans 20. I have been a firm proponent of not taking Josh Jacobs anywhere for a couple of years now, and he's making me eat those words. He's having a fantastic season, and if you don't watch the Raiders play, which I don't hardly ever, then you probably won't know that. But if you do and you are a Raiders fan, and there's a bunch of them out there, God help you, then you've seen this, and you know this isn't news. This isn't news to Raiders fans. But Josh Jacobs, 20 carries, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he caught another 3 passes on top of that. You can't overlook that as fantasy relevance. That is big time. That is big time. Devontae Adams, 8 for 95. You're still starting him. It's good to see Hunter Renfrow back, 3 for 55. I think they're going to continue to – he's going to get eased back in from the injury. He had 2 big injuries this year. I would like to see him really be a good, you know, 1-2 punch with Devontae Adams. I'm kind of hoping that Mac Hollins fades out and isn't a thing very much longer once Renfrow gets his feet underneath him. And look, I've said this all year long. If you're looking for a quarterback and you need a 2-quarterback league or whatever, and you need to play Davis Mills, it's not a bad gig, man. 300 yards last night, 2 touchdowns. It's not a bad deal. He had a solid fantasy day. That is really good. Spread the ball around to all kinds of receivers. But if you need a quarterback and he's out there and you're like, man, I'm screwed because this guy's hurt and this guy's hurt and this guy's still suspended or whatever, Davis Mills isn't a bad play. In 1-quarterback leagues, you probably got another better option. But in 2 or if you play 3-quarterback leagues, man, Davis Mills is not a bad play week in and week out. He's going to make plays. He threw the ball 41 times. Okay, you're going to get some numbers when you throw the ball 41 times. A sneaky, sneaky play quarterback yesterday. If you played him, you definitely had a good – you weren't hating it, that's for sure. Seattle 37, Chargers 23, and we are witnessing what would have been – what was supposed to have been the uprising – of the rookie running backs in this class. The 2 premier rookie running backs in this class, Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker. Okay, we were supposed to witness the uprising together. Kenneth Walker, 23 carries, 168 yards, 2 touchdowns, slammed the door on a fantastic stat day with a big long touchdown run last night. And what a run Geno Smith's having. I have had to play Geno Smith in a couple of different leagues and a couple of different places this year, and he hasn't disappointed me yet. He always seems to find the end zone. Now, yesterday it wasn't spectacular, 210. You really want more passing yards, but the 2 touchdowns, you like that, and he did throw an interception. You'll live with the 2 touchdowns and the interception, but you'd like to see the more yardage. He has been another one of those quarterbacks that's had a solid play week in and week out this whole entire season. He's taken his chance, he's taken his opportunity, and he has really made the most of it. DK Metcalf, 1 for 12, another guy we talked about. Here's what we know. Injuries, looks like they were negative. X-rays were negative. He's going to be back. I'm not sure when. Not as bad as news as this for Breece Hall. He will be back. Until then, I love Tyler Lockett, you know, picking up some slack. 7 for 45 yesterday. Nothing big, nothing deep. His longest was 14 yards, but 8 targets, 7 catches, you know, picking up where Metcalf left off. Marquise Goodwin, 4 for 67 and 2 touchdowns. Look, don't rush out and get him and waste a bunch of fab money on him. Don't do it. I mean, if you can get him on the cheap and slide him in, and you are going to lose Metcalf for a couple of weeks, and that's whatever, but don't go blow your wad on Marquise Goodwin, because this isn't gonna be sustainable. It's just not. You're not gonna get 67 yards or 2 touchdowns out of him every week. So a lot of this was probably due to Metcalf's injury. So just be wise with your fab money, because we're getting down to the probably where you've spent, you know, a good bit of your fab. I know I have. For the Chargers, the running game continues to make me scratch my head a little bit. Mike Williams, 7 for 86, a touchdown. He had a solid game, got hurt. Not sure what the word is on him just yet. Justin Herbert, 51 pass attempts. 51 pass attempts, and he completed 33. And only threw for 293 yards. Did have two touchdowns to help save his day. But I was expecting more from Herbert this season than what I've seen. I don't know if teams are just coming in saying, hey, this kid is not going to beat us. We're going to make Eckler beat us. And they're all pushing that route. I don't watch much of these games because they're out west. And even though Derwin James and Asante Samuel are on this team, I don't watch a lot of the Chargers games. They don't really excite me. I'm not a Charger fan. But, you know, as far as stats go, if you're going to throw the ball 51 times, first of all, you need to complete more than 33 of them. And you'd think with 51 attempts, you're going to throw for more than 293. I mean, that's just some quick math that I'm just doing right there on the top of my head. So I'd like to see more from Herbert. Okay, here we go. San Fran, Kansas City. Kansas City beat San Francisco 44-23. Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdowns again. Just ho-hum, 3 more touchdowns. 423 passing yards. Ho-hum, just another day at the office. Jimmy Garoppolo, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. No slouch right there. If you had to play Jimmy G in a league, you hit on him. That's a win. 300 yards and 2 touchdowns for Jimmy Garoppolo, that's a win. Both quarterbacks had really good days. We're going to see more from Christian McCaffrey going forward since he got traded to San Francisco this past week. They had a small package ready for him, used him 8 for 38. Very modest. Your shares of Jeff Wilson just hit the toilet, in case you didn't know, in case you missed it. Jeff Wilson's no longer a thing after this week. I played him in a couple of leagues thinking maybe he'd just get a score instead. 7 for 54, not a whole lot to get excited about. 0 catches, 1 target, must have dropped it. Christian McCaffrey going forward I think is going to be just fine. I do have a little bit of reservation because they do use, you know, a multitude of backs right there. But I think it's going to be a little bit of self-preservation, keeping him healthy, that they're still going to sprinkle in Jeff Wilson, and they're still going to sprinkle in, you know, Deebo Samuel at the running back position. And it's just going to break it up because they're not going to take it. They're not going to go away from that. So McCaffrey's still going to be a play. And I do – the one thing I do like – and I was talking to somebody about this just yesterday, was I think he may be a little bit more relevant in the pass-catching role now. Baker refused to throw the ball to him. Of course, Baker's crap. Now, he's pretty much done in the NFL as well. But he just didn't throw the ball to him. And Christian McCaffrey can make so much happen, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield on the little screen passes, you know, slant routes out of the backfield. That's where he's made his money at in this league, and he refused to do it in Carolina. I don't get it. But I think maybe that's a bigger play now, and he's going to have a bigger role, and you're going to see some more points out of him, you know, in PPR leagues, which we hope. Isaiah Pacheco, 8 for 43. CEH, 6 for 32 and 1 for Kansas City. I still ain't touching that. I'm still not touching anything in that Kansas City backfield. I want no part of it. The one thing that I will say, though, Juju, 7 for 124 and a touchdown, ascending, coming on very nicely as this season progresses and gets a little bit more and more familiar with this offense. And I do like Juju going forward, as well as MVS. Travis Kelce's still going to be your bread and butter, but as a receiver, as a wide receiver position, Juju is somebody that I really like going forward. And if he's available in your leagues and you can get him or trade for him, if you find a guy that's loaded at wide receiver and you can get him, he may really solidify one of your wide receiver 2, 3, or a flex spot. Kind of came back to life at Kansas City, which if you go back and listen, I talked about that back before the season started, that I thought he would have a more productive fantasy career going to Kansas City. In the nightcap last night, which I watched just a little bit of because that's a snoozer, 16-10, true diehard Steeler fans. I love you, Doug Harder, Kane Harder. You guys are Steeler fans to the end, and I respect that. We're just going to have to give Pickett some time. We're going to have to give him some more time to get ready, to get himself acclimated to the NFL game, get himself to where he's more comfortable in this offense. Najee Harris is going to have more than 65 yards on 17 carries. And I hate to say this, because I love Pat Freiermuth, but you're going to have somebody else establish himself. And last night was a good number for these Pittsburgh receivers. Okay, Pickens, 6 for 61 and a great touchdown catch. That was amazing. Deontay Johnson, 5 for 42. Chase Claypool, 5 for 41. Those are good numbers. Those are good numbers. Kenny Pickett, the problem with Pickett is he threw the three picks. And that basically just hand-wrapped the game for the Dolphins. You don't throw three picks, you keep the ball longer, maybe you score. If you could get 10 points out of those three turnovers, guess what? Do the math, you win the game, 20-16. So the turnovers, and it's baby steps, and we're going to have to take the good with the bad with Pickett, but this kid's good, and he makes quick decisions, but he's going to have to learn to make the right quick decisions, if you know what I mean. But it's a growing game now, and they've made the change. Now you can't take him. You can't pull him now. Okay, you've heard this all across TV and everything. If you started with Trubisky and you put in Pickett, then you can't pull Pickett and go back to Trubisky because it's going to rock this kid's foundation. You've heard it across every mainstream media platform there is, and that's true. You pull him now, and you're like, yeah, the kid's just not ready. Well, now you're stuck with it. That's your hand you're dealt. Okay, only way he's coming off is if he's hurt. That's just my opinion. One more game on the docket tonight. We got the Bears. We got the Patriots. I ain't watching that. I'm just not. That is no thanks. Don't want no part of it. Unless you're a diehard Bears fan or a diehard Patriots fan, you're not really watching it either. There's got to be something else on. The Voice is on. I just, no. I don't want a part of it. New England should win this game, and they should win this game pretty easily. I know the record's 2-4 for Chicago, 3-3 for New England, but Chicago, just they need more work, and New England always gets it together the middle of the season, and it's time. Looks like maybe Zappi's going back to the bench, and they're bringing Mac Jones back in at quarterback. That's going to kickstart their offense. Tyquan Thornton, the rookie wide receiver, is back and healthier and playing. So I look for New England to win this game, and I don't really expect it to be all that close. Now, I'll get up tomorrow morning, and it'll be a wipeout. Chicago will have beat them by 3 touchdowns, and I'll be like, well, I was wrong. But anyway, we are getting into the heart of our fantasy seasons. Okay, and this is where the identity, just like the NFL, of your fantasy team has pretty much showed you what it's going to be. You're still making moves, but there's just not a lot left. If you're in deeper leagues, the free agent cupboard is bare. There's nothing left to really get excited about. In IDP, you may find a stray linebacker or a stray safety here that's worth picking up and playing. But you've either picked them up or somebody else has picked them up, or they're hurt or on IR or they're not doing anything. So now it's a matter of matchups. It's matchup time now. Okay, you're still playing the big names that are playing no matter who they're playing against. But now you're trying to find the one guy who may show up because they're playing the Bears or they're playing, and I can't say Tampa because Tampa's defense is still pretty good, but maybe Detroit, who plays really, really tough. They're just not that very good of a football team. So now you're looking at matchups. And if you're in the thick of it and you're not already toast in your league and you're in the thick of it, which in the thick of it means if you've won 2 or 3 games, you're still in it, guys, people. If you're 0-for or 1-for, you're in trouble. But if you've won 2 or 3 games, with the way most of my leagues are laid out, you're not in this boat all by yourself. You're in this boat where the guy ahead of you has got the same record or maybe one win more, but maybe you're really close in scoring, and you're like, hey, if I played him, I could probably get him. So you can't give up. So if you're a 2 or 3 win team, you're still in fantastic shape because the rest of your league is probably tight. There may be one guy running away. We're in one league, or two leagues actually, our auction league through Hitman Fantasy Productions. It's kind of a runaway. There's one guy who's 5-1. He's kind of pulling away from the field. And in our Chumps League with Brian Wickham's league, we got the three-time champ. He's got one loss, and he's kind of showed us, you know, he's kind of pulling away a little bit again. The Devi League, I'm 5-1. The other guy's 5-1. The rest of the field is so close. It's so tight between 3 and 8 that it's still anybody's game. So it's not over with. It's just a matter of finding the right formula and trying to stay positive. And I got to be honest with you, I'm having trouble with that. I'm having trouble staying positive in a couple of leagues where I expect to be, you know, the top two or three dog in the yard. And I'm not this year, whether it be for injuries. I've lost 3 straight. I lost this week to a guy who had to play Colt McCoy at quarterback because he's so beat up. And I lost. I had 2 quarterbacks, and I lost. And it's hard to stay positive when you're looking at that and you're like, you know, this shouldn't even be a contest. When I look at this on paper, I should roll this week. Didn't even give that league – once I had my lineup set, I'm like, I'm not even going to worry about that league because he only had 1 quarterback who got 0 points. Or he had 2 quarterbacks, but one of them was Colt McCoy, got 0 points. So I'm thinking, I'm not worried about that. Next thing I know, my team doesn't show up, and now I've lost 3 in a row and 4 out of 5 in a league where I'm usually top 2 or 3. It's very stressful, very frustrating, and I get it. But I'm not out of it yet by any stretch, so I just got to keep plugging away. Fantasy's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, you know, enjoyable for everybody, but don't give me that crap about how it isn't stressful and you're not trying to do good, especially if you've put all the work into it that a lot of us, and if you're listening to this program, you've put a lot of time into it. You want to produce. It's very stressful, even for me, who's been doing this since 1993. Well, we're going to talk about the World Series, but I'm mad that the Yankees just stunk up through the second half of the season. And throughout the playoffs, I knew when they struggled against the Guardians, they were going to have trouble against Houston. They got swept. I'm rooting for the Phillies. Go Phillies in the World Series. Beat the Astros. I'm not sure you can do it. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. You can find me all over any platform. You can find me on Twitter at CGapBlitzPodcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Yay, football. See you next time on the Blitz.